God values even our poor little efforts to build up the kingdom. Yeo San was an elderly man in China years ago who worked in the rice fields and lived alone in a fishing boat on the river. So in other words, living a simple life of poverty. He came to his priest one day and said, "Father, wouldn't it be good if we could have a real church instead of a wooden hut we use?" "Yes, it would," the priest answered. "But it's going to take us some time to fundraise the money." "Father," said Yeo San, "I would like to pay for the building of a new church." "Well," said the priest, "I am sure you'll be able to contribute your share when the time comes." But Yeo San insisted, "No, I want to pay for the whole thing myself." The priest then explained that this would be impossible, as the cost would be close to the equivalent at that time of $5,000. He knew that Yeo San didn't even have a house of his own. He couldn't afford to give that kind of money. Yeo San said he knew that, but then he went and produced the actual amount of cash. The priest, understandably, was astounded. So Yeo San had to explain. "Years ago," he said, "when he was a young man, just receiving his first instruction in the faith, he had heard a missionary priest explaining the words, 'Hallowed be thy name,' that the purpose of our life is to give glory to God. And it was that simple." Hearing this at the time, he conceived the desire to someday build a temple fitting to God's name. So, for 40 years, living with no family and no house, eating only his regular portion of rice and fish, he had managed to lay aside most of his wages till he had the 5,000. The priest was even more astounded and objected to the plan, seeing that Yeo San was old and would soon need the money to support himself when he could no longer work. Yet Yeo San said that God would take care of him and begged the priest to grant this lifelong desire to build a fitting temple for God. And the priest ended up consenting. And so the church was built. And apparently, as I was reading, it was standing room only when the first Mass was celebrated there, with all the Catholics in the region overjoyed to have a church of their own. After the Mass, Yeo San was seen kneeling in the beautiful little church for a long time. That afternoon, he was found lifeless, still kneeling, his heart perhaps broken with joy and gratitude. In a dream that night, the priest said he saw Christ welcoming the old man into heaven, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." You see, Yeo San was a man who understood the real value of offering our poor efforts to God. Now, in this morning's gospel, we heard the famous passage about the miracle of the loaves and the fishes. This miracle is found in all four gospels, and it's a foreshadowing of the miracle of the Holy Eucharist. In fact, this is the beginning of a series of gospels that we're going to hear now over the next few weeks that will cover our Lord's teaching on the bread of life, the Holy Eucharist. Now, in today's gospel, a problem is presented. Christ wants to feed 5,000 men, but I don't know if you noticed, plus at least as many women and children. Yet they didn't have any food to give. So how are they going to achieve this? I mean, that sounds impossible to me. Not even a year's salary could buy enough for such a feast, as Philip nervously points out. But then this young boy approaches. He offers them 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Okay, this obviously cannot feed a crowd more than 5,000 people either. And yet, when the apostles handed over these small resources to the Lord, they became more than enough to do the job. And that's the point I want to focus on this morning. That young boy gave all that he had to our Lord through the apostles. And what he had was admittedly very little. But what did our Lord do? He multiplied it. That principle, giving our Lord all that we have for his service, even if it's small, is what I think we should reflect on this week. In other words, if we give what little we have for the service of Christ, he can multiply it and use it in untold ways. And you know what? The devil knows this. And so he does whatever he can to discourage us from putting our few loaves and small fish at Christ's feet. And normally, the devil's strategy, is quite simple. He tempts us by encouraging us to give into self-centeredness or comfortable seeking attitudes instead of striving for fidelity to Christ and self-sacrifice in our everyday lives. I've talked about him before, but St. John Vianney, the patron saint of parish priests, I think is a good example of someone who used what little he had in Christ's service. In fact, John Vianney was a priest who put every last crumb of his loaves at God's service. So he lived in the 1800s, but there's a lot of writings about him. A lot of people met him. He did not enjoy natural gifts of intelligence. He failed out of seminary. He did not have good looks. He was ugly. And you know what? He was also awkward. Did not have a great personality. And yet, people from all over the world would travel to his little French town of Ars to go to confession with him. Thousands of people a year traveled to meet with him. So many people that France didn't know what to do. So they built a train station in this small village in order to accommodate all the people coming to see him. He would spend 16 hours a day hearing people's confessions. 16 hours! That is a lot. He saw that as his duty, though. The humble ministry and sitting in the confessional was his avenue through which God multiplied this priest's loaves. And so, the devil would do everything he could to discourage the priest from this ministry, manifesting himself to him and even attacking him at night physically. And more than once, the devil actually set his room on fire. You know, John Vianney, before he recognized it was the devil, had to hire bodyguards to guard his rectory. But they got afraid and ran away. But you know what? This diabolical attack backfired. It only made the priest more dedicated to the confessional than ever. You see, the devil is convinced that even our small efforts, like sitting in a confessional box, to fulfill our vocation can work wonders. But the real question is, are we convinced of that? The mission we've received, our vocation, our call, is ultimately, to sum it up, of that of becoming saints. To become saints, we must use our gifts and talents to help others become saints as well. We're in this together. We have a mission of being bright torches in this dark and very lost world, torches that guide searching souls towards the hope of heaven, toward fulfillment with a true friendship with Christ. But you know what? On our own, you and I are weak. We are embarrassed to share our faith with others. And we don't actually want to commit our whole lives at all times fully to Christ. We don't want to sacrifice living how we want to live. Yet if we simply say yes to our Lord with a sincere heart, he's going to multiply that yes and make it extraordinary. He will give us the grace to not only be faithful to Him, but to help others be faithful as well. Our hearts are restless until they rest in Christ. Only if we put all that we have and all that we are into Christ's hands, confiding in Him and not ourselves, only then can we hope to fulfill our mission of bringing ourselves and others to Christ. Now, for that young boy, all that he had were those loaves of bread and two fish. For us, are we able to say to the Lord, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to be completely faithful to you. Help me. Lead me. I give you my all. Now, our all might not be a lot, but if it's sincere, if it's humble, it will be enough for God to work with and multiply. He will then send people to us in our day that He wants us to bring to Him. Because you know what? God humbles Himself to work His plan through us sinful human beings. And He does that because He loves us. Christ asked His apostles to hand over the little that they had had from the boy. And then He worked wonders with it. Could He perhaps be asking us to do the same? Which loaves and fish is God asking us to entrust to His care today, right now? What do we have so little of that we are afraid to give to God? You know, maybe it's time. Maybe God has been whispering to us for a while, asking us to spend some more time with Him each day in prayer, in reading a good spiritual book, in reading the Bible daily, in serving the parish, and being more faithful to your family. Maybe we've been a lax Catholic for some time, but we know in our hearts we shouldn't be. Maybe we know in our hearts we haven't been to confession for a long time, and we are long overdue. But we are busy. We have so little time, we tell ourselves. God will work wonders with whatever little bit we give Him, if it's truly a gift to Him. Maybe it's talent. Maybe God has put a desire in our hearts to do something for Him or for our neighbors, to start something new, to reach out to those in need who have been on our mind, but we've been afraid of trying because maybe we're afraid of failing or it takes effort. But if it's given to God, He will multiply whatever little talent we have if we put it sincerely, humbly, and obediently into His hands. Right? It's one thing to do it on our own, but that is full of pride. It's selfish. It's another thing to do it as a gift to Christ. Maybe it's talk. Maybe there's someone in our life that we need to forgive still, or apologize to, or invite back to Mass, or encourage to walk away from some destructive, sinful habit that leads them away from Christ. But how will we know the right thing to say? It's okay. God will turn our poor words into seeds of grace, if only we place them in His hands. Christ used what little that young boy had and multiplied it. Christ used what little Yosan set aside to make a beautiful temple for our Lord. So too will He use what little we have if we but give it to Him. And He'll use it in untold ways. We just simply can't be selfish. And so the question we should ask ourselves this Sunday is, are we actually willing to give what little we have for Christ to use?